Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along to another Life Logistics episode. We haven't done one of these for a few weeks. We got distracted by History Box, which was meant to be a one-off episode. It turned into three parts. But hey, we're not in any rush. We're not going anywhere, are we, any of us? So no. Don't worry about it. But the logistics is back. We've got a fairly bulging mailbag, I think. There's quite a few here. There's one that stood out. We're not going to name the sender of this one. Anonymity is allowed, if you ever want that. When you send in your problems.
Did this person request anonymity?
He said, yeah, pretty much, yeah. But I would have rendered him anonymous anyway because of the content. I don't think he should be publicly shamed for what he wrote. But anyway, he said, it didn't start well. It says, sorry, Andy, but this message is exclusively Sam-related, which in itself feels like a power play, a divide and conquer kind of thing. So yeah, I'm not into that at all.
It'd be really awful if you investigated this email address and went quite far into it and then discovered that in fact it was a burner that I'd set up as a power play, and I'd set up false accounts and started emailing Top Flight Time. She said, sorry, but this is only for Sam. It's only his opinion that I'm interested in. Yours, John Email, Scotland.
Stan Mullaney. Scotland. What's the opposite of England? Scotland.
Yeah.
I'll say I'm from Scotland. He'll never figure it out.
That'll throw him off the scent. Well, it can't be Sam. Sam definitely lives in England.
I had my suspicions till it said that he's from Scotland. It's exclusively Sam related. I mean, look, you know, we come as a pair. Even if we don't have any expertise on a particular subject, we will both respond. But it says, Sam, I don't know if this is overstepping the mark or if you can even help at all, but here goes.
And as soon as I read that, if from anyone, I just straight away think this is definitely overstepping the mark.
You are overstepping the mark. You are about to overstep the mark. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I can't remember who it was. There's some celebrity who I read a thing where they said that, you know, when they're in a restaurant and people come up and want autographs or selfies and that, and there's a celeb in a restaurant. And he said, they always say, I'm sorry to bother you. So I say, well, why are you doing it then? I like that. Anyway,
I read a thing once. It might have been in one of those newsletters that used to go around, like Pop Bitch. Might still go around for all I know, but I think it was on that or one similar. And someone came up to that was it. Someone said, "In massive Chelsea fan, season ticket holder for however many years, right?" And they were in a TFI Friday in central London.
Yeah.
No, TGI Friday, that's it.
Yeah.
They're in a TGI Friday in central London, and fucking the whole Chelsea squad, this is obviously pre-Abramovich, before when they could only afford to go out for squad bonding sessions at a TGI Friday, right, when Ken Bates was still in charge. Right, I've lined up a lunch for you all at TGI Friday. I've got some vouchers.
Some lunch and vouchers, yeah.
I've got you some vouchers. It's a... You can't have the full menu. You can't order a la carte, but they have a good specials menu.
I've negotiated a deal with the management there. You have to be there for 12:45, and you've got to be out by 2 p.m.
Now, you can have the buffalo wings. You can have a chicken. It all has to be chicken, no beef, because the beef, apparently, the margin they make on any beef product is much smaller. Anyway, apparently, he goes, so I saw them, and in amongst them all was their star player of the time, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, and he was my favourite player, and I really was desperate for an autograph. So I went over and leant into him and just went, Jimmy, hi, I... And before I got any further, he just went, without looking up from his food, just went, fuck off.
Yes.
But that's the Dutch for you. They're renowned to be a very blunt people, aren't they, the Dutch?
I love that. That's fantastic.
Fuck off.
So he says, I don't know if this is overstepping the mark or if you can help. Here he goes, my partner and I have booked up to spend New Year in New York, and my plan is to propose to her earlier this year so we could potentially get married whilst in New York. Problem is, I don't know if you have to be in the USA for so long before getting married, etc., and don't know where or who to ask for guidance. So I was wondering if your sister in NYC could offer any info.
Fucking hell.
There we go.
Well,
does your sister, Sam, have knowledge of the NYC state marital laws? If so...
I would imagine so. I mean, she does live there. So why wouldn't she? I mean, you know, obviously I live in England. So if anyone from abroad asked me the marital laws and your status as a tourist in the eyes of the marital courts here... Yeah. I would have a detailed knowledge. And if someone asked me via a third party or fourth, fifth party, I'd be only too happy to help. I could give this guy my sister's... I mean, she's just had a kid, right? So she's quite busy, but
she'd probably be fine. Happy for a distraction, let's just say that.
She would, yeah.
Because it's very intense.
I think it's best if I contact him directly. Now, why is he anonymous? Why does he want to be anonymous? Sometimes I worry about the reasons why people want to be anonymous.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you said, dear Sam and Andy, this is sort of for life logistics, but I have carried out a killing spree over the last 4 years in my area. I live in Shropshire.
Oh, that's good. That's England, because we know about English laws.
Yeah. I have evaded the police because burnt all of the evidence.
Yeah.
And therefore eradicated all DNA. Trace evidence. However, I feel that the net is beginning to tighten. What do you suggest I do? P.S. I would prefer it if you didn't mention my name. This is a burner email. I think, okay, fine.
A burner email.
I understand that. I mean, I would still report them because you and I, and we've been very clear on this, do not agree with murder in any circumstances.
No.
But I could understand why he wanted anonymity, right? But this guy, well, anyway, look, I'm probably focusing on the wrong thing here. Why don't you have a run at this? He has told you to stay out of this, effectively, which is rude.
Yeah.
Stay out of this, Andy.
Yeah.
This
it's
is between me and Sam and Sam's sister.
How does he know that I don't have any contacts in New York? I know two people who live in New York. I just haven't mentioned them on this podcast. So, there you go.
You're not going around showing off about all your New York contacts like I do.
Exactly. I was waiting for an appropriate time to drop them in. But, you know, don't ask me anything. I don't fuck all.
They see you and suddenly go, look, here comes fucking Dawson. Thinks he's better than us with his New York contacts. Well, always going around bragging about the people he knows in New York.
Or as this correspondent has probably thought, well, I'll get in touch with Sam because he lives in London and he knows things. The other one, he's in Sunderland. Nothing happens up there. He ain't got any mates in New York.
He wouldn't have even heard of New York.
Yeah. Well, there is a New York near us. There's a New York near Tynemouth. On the coast, there's a place called New York.
He would have thought that you would have assumed he was talking about New York, Tynemouth.
Obviously. That's the only one I've heard of. So, So you're not able to offer any specific guidance, Sam?
Why? I mean, what did you see my reply to him? Because I actually replied to this because I was so astounded
I'll read
by
it out.
The strangeness.
I'll read it out verbatim. Okay. It's very short, six-word reply, Sam. And you just put, mate, why don't you Google it? Which I think is fine. I think it covers everything.
I think that about a lot of emails or tweets that I get,
yeah,
or
definitely.
You know, we get. I always think, have you heard of fucking Google?
Yeah.
Like, why are you asking a human who you've never met and who, let's be honest, right? If you're a regular listener to this podcast, why on earth you would trust my point of view or insight on most things is beyond me. You know, it's not like I'm a lawyer. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'll ask Sam. He knows someone who lives in New York. She'll probably know. In the time it took you to fucking dream that up, write an email begging for anonymity and fuck off Andy in the process, you could have Googled it and got an immediate, detailed and reliable fucking answer to your question, right? Think on, lads. Google's, I don't know if you've heard of Google, but it's a really effective sort of website.
I mean, other search engenes are available as well, you know. It doesn't have
to
be Google.
Yeah, I mean, you can do Ask Jeeves if you want.
Yeah.
Even he'd be better than me.
I might go back to Ask Jeeves, actually. It feels more authentic.
Mate, maybe me and you should just skip a lot of this shit and start our own search engine in rival to Google.
Yeah.
Top Flight Time Machine. I think it's pretty easy. We'd probably need to hire a couple of kids to sort of just, like, type in, like, loads of shit.
To do the grunt work. Yeah.
Yeah. And we'd just tell them.
Okay, we'll do
that. We're going to give you a list of questions and a list of answers to those questions. And you must type the code into the internet so people can find them automatically without having to contact us directly.
So there we go. We have no...
I will not be asking my sister. I will not be putting you in touch with my sister. I think you need to really look at the way in which you're living your life. Because, to be honest, it's sort of like, what next? Dear Sam, this one's for you, not Andy. I recently did a shit out of my ass, and I don't know how to get the remaining residue of shit off of my inner ass cheeks. I once heard a story... Can you put me in touch with Matthew Judkins, your mate from school who shat out of a tree? Because I am looking for advice on how to wipe my own arse, so I thought I'd ask a podcaster. P.S. I am 42 years old and a father of three. Fucking hell,
can
mate.
Can you put me in touch with your mother's husband, who I believe is a doctor?
I know he is not a proctologist, but apparently they all do at least a week of arse training in medical school. So even the general doctors know a bit about it.
And even if he's forgotten, he's probably got the book that they all look in.
Yeah.
For everything.
Fucking
so,
hell.
That's
that one dealt
with.
And
then he added at the bottom, this is not content for TFTM. Oh, we'll be the judge of that, my friend. So
anything you send to us is content for TFTM.
So please don't mention it. Or if you do, don't name drop me, so we haven't. And also feel free to assume I'm a cheeky twat and just ignore this.
It's just so weird. And to say that it's not for the podcast, then what? Then you'd think that. I mean, you wouldn't go up to a stranger on the street and say, have you got any relatives in New York? Great, put me in touch with them. I've got a couple of questions that I need answering
really
about legal matters out there.
So that's that dealt with. I'm glad that we put that to bed.
Here, got a couple of good ones, actually. Well, one's a bit dark, but we'll get onto it if we still need to towards the end. All right, lads, we've lived in our current house for the last 6 years. It's in a lovely area, nice and quiet. Neighbours are all friendly, and we get on well with everyone. That does sound nice. But I've never felt truly at home in it, whereas my good wife and daughter are settled. I float the idea of moving, and it's pretty much been shot down. Well, of course it fucking has. Our daughter will be heading to university soon. Shall I suggest it again in about 18 months? Again, this a little bit falls into the category of... I mean, you know, you've got a daughter who's practically university age, so you're obviously an adult and not a baby.
Yeah.
So you can probably make your mind up yourself. And I would say, based on the evidence that you have delivered, Darren, because that is your name and you have not requested anonymity. If I was you, I would have done. Right. We've lived in our current house the last 6 years. It's in a lovely area, nice and quiet. Neighbours are all friendly. But I want to... my daughter and my wife fucking love it. But I don't. I want to fucking move.
This has got nothing to do with moving house. This is an existential dilemma or crisis that Darren's having. Mm. It's just this one sentence screams out at me. I've never felt truly at home in it. What? Mm.
Well, I think at a time like this, you should think about what Prince said to Matt Damon that time. Yeah? Do you remember what he said?
Yeah.
He said, I live inside my own heart, didn't he?
Matt Damon,
yeah. And we all live in our own hearts, or at least we should. I've got a mate, one of my best mates, and he has been on the move since we were teenagers.
Right.
He's never stayed in one place, right? And he's got a really nice life in most ways these days. He's got a lovely wife and lovely kids and all the rest of it. But he's always moving.
Mm.
And I don't know if I've ever said this to him or not, and I'm banking on him not listening to the podcast, but I think any of my mates, especially my old mates, would listen to it, obviously. But it's like, I wonder, why, not moving like within one city, I mean moving radically to other countries, like all over the place, and he'll only have been in somewhere for 5 minutes before he's already saying he's got a right move addiction, you know, and he'll be like, oh, I've been looking, I might move here, I might move there, you know.
In the end,
you just got to settle.
Yeah.
I know, it's expensive. It's one of the most stressful things you can do, moving.
Yeah.
I mean, as you know, I often dream about moving out of London, but it's not something that I have any real intention of doing until the kids are older.
Yeah.
And even then, in the meantime, the amount of money you spend on a move, I could spend a fraction of that on just making the house I live in nicer, your rig.
I mean, every time you buy a house, the stamp duty to pay if it's over 250 grand. So, I mean, that's always...
Unless you do it in the next month and you get your stamp duty holiday.
Before March the 31st, yeah, good luck with that. What's he running from, Sam? What is your pal running from? He's obviously running from something. From himself? Is that what it is?
I don't think... it's sort of running, but what I really think is that people think that if they don't quite feel content, even though a lot of the things in their life indicate that they should feel content, right? Then the problem is that they think, oh, God, they think there's a silver bullet out there. Do you know what I mean? They think all I need to do...
The grass is always green.
All they think is I just need to do what I feel 80% okay most of the time, but there's that 20% nagging, and I'm not quite sure what it is, but I think that all it will take is one big move, one big thing, and it might be moving house, it might be changing. Some people change careers all the time. Some people, it's why I think they go through lots and lots of relationships, right? And they never settle with one person because they always think all it needs is one major thing. But you need to work at everything.
It's what I've said before. People are striving for this mythical thing called happiness.
Yeah.
When, in fact, all you need to try and attain is just contentment. You're just feeling all right with how everything is. You don't have to feel fucking elated all the time or deliriously joyful. You just need to feel as if,
can't from time to time.
Yeah, you can. You should have fleeting moments of that, I think.
It's ridiculous to think that
can be the status quo. You've got to just kind of just find yourself a scenario where you think, yeah, this is all right. This is all right, this. There's no real bad things about this. There's probably one or two negative things I'd like to change, but, you know, you've got to accept what you can't change.
But life's a work in progress, isn't it? That's the thing. What never happens is, it's not like... The thing is, a lot of this is because everything we're surrounded by culturally, not least things like advertising and consumerism, but also just movies, TV shows, even some books, like, they tell stories like there's a neat... Everything has to be wrapped up in a neat narrative, right?
Yeah.
Beginning, middle, end. And you think there is an end, and that the ending can either be a sad ending or a happy ending, and that it's binary, right? And then once you get to that ending, yeah, that's it. That's you sorted for the rest of the time. So you see a film, right? I mean, pick anything. Like, you see a film where in the end they get fucking married, right? So four or weddings murdered and a funeral. Yeah. Right, exactly. Well, you look at Goodfellas, right? And at the end, Ray Liotta is living in suburbia, complaining that his life is less exciting than it was when he was a full-time murderer for the mob. Yeah. Fucking hell. Now I just have to be... I mean, I've got to say, by the way, Goodfellas, everyone watches it, right? Normal people. And go, yeah, I feel really sorry for him at the end because he was having a good laugh in the mafia, but now, like, he's just boring. No, you dickheads. He is living the dream rig life at the end, right? You got it all wrong. Fucking Martin Scorsese is a silly adolescent, right, who, despite the fact he's now literally an old man, is still got a hard-on for fucking gangsters and the tough guys, right? It's, like, pathetic. So the Irishman, right? He barely has, like, beyond two-dimensional paper-thin female characters in any of his movies, right? Because he is just a little man, right, who looked up when he was growing up to the tough guys in his neighbourhood and wished he was one of them, and has spent the rest of his fucking life making sort of homoerotic tributes to those men that he wished he could have been friends with, right? That is what Martin Scorsese is.
Yeah.
And at the end of Goodfellas, right, you've seen this man live, let's be honest, an amoral and despicable lifestyle as part of the mafia, right? Beating people's brains out with handguns in their own driveway. Which, by the way, if you meet a real Alan Partridge, he'll always go, oh, that's my favourite bit in the film. Okay. And then at the end, he's in witness protection, right? Yeah. And he's living in a nice green suburb. And you see him on the doorstep. House.
Yeah.
In an identikit house. He comes out on the doorstep. He picks up his pint of milk. Yeah. And he's wearing his dressing gown. He gets his newspaper, right?
Yeah.
And he's going, oh, look at me now. This is well boring. I'm thinking, maybe when I was an adolescent, which is who those sorts of films are aimed at, by the way. When I was an adolescent, I was like, fucking hell, oh, the brilliant film. I feel well bad for him at the end that he's not a fucking drug dealer and killer anymore.
Crushed his murdering spirit. Oh,
yeah, exactly. That's what the system does to you. They'll never do it to me when I grow up. Right. Now, then, like, 20 years later, when you're working in fucking... when you're a system analyst in some faceless fucking new town, right, and you're driving a fucking Mondeo or whatever people drive these days, right, but you say, I've got... it's still my favourite film, Goodfellas. In fact, I just got it on Blu-ray. Right, it's like, mate, it was all right to like it when you were a teenager. Look, Goodfellas is a good film for people getting
touch. It is my favourite film, you fucker. It is my favourite film.
No, look, it's a fucking great film.
And I have got the Blu-ray. And the Godfather trilogy. And the Sopranos.
Look, all those films are, you know, of course, I'm not here saying all these gangster films are stupid, right? But they kind of, no, what I'm saying is, it's not, they're not enjoyable. They are enjoyable and they're very well made, right? But they are silly, and you have to. And it doesn't mean they're not great. All those films, you know, Sopranos, Goodfellas, The Godfather trilogy. Well, apart from The Godfather 3, all great. Three. Yeah, I really like them, and I watch them on a regular basis. But I'm saying that when you're an adolescent, you think silly things like, "Yeah, these guys are so cool." Right?
Yeah.
When you're older, you like it on a different level. So you might think, this is such a well put together film. The acting's fantastic. It's aesthetically brilliant. It's exciting at times. But you have to watch it more like you might watch a fucking Marvel superhero movie. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just sort of daft.
Yeah.
And it's a parallel moral universe.
Jalapeño.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you.
That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
But the point is, at the end, you're like, that's the end of the story. Ray Liotta's character is now buttoned down in his rig life. Oh no, game over. Or you see Four Weddings and a Funeral, right? And at the end, Hugh Grant gets off with Andy McDowell, and that's it, happily ever after. Mm. But life is not binary. So you reach a point at which you think, this is a high point for me. But then life continues the next day and you have to continue working on it. There's no silver bullet where you've just achieved happiness. You've aimed for one thing. You've achieved that thing. Mm. But then the next day you still wake up. I mean, put it this way, right? Jeff Hurst scored a hat-trick in the World Cup final, right? If that was a movie, the movie would have ended then as he ran off celebrating the hat-trick.
Freeze frame as he ran off at the end, yeah.
Like in Yesterday's Hero when he... Yeah. Well, I don't want to give away the ending, right? But like, you would have been left to believe, well, that's his life sorted for the end of time, right? But the next day, Jeff Hurst had to get up and get out of bed, right? Mm. Read the papers, yeah, scored hat-trick, great. But end of the day, I was at fucking West Ham in a corporate box once for someone's stag. And Jeff Hurst came round doing the old meet and greets. Yeah.
Pressing the flesh.
Hello, gents. He came in by surprise. It was amazing.
I'll bet
in
it
these
was.
Corporate boxes, okay, Upton Park, they doubled as hotel rooms that you could stay in for the night, which I'm so gutted I never did, right? It was like 100 quid. Why I didn't do it like all the time when I fucking was earning a few quid? Because when I was drinking as well, you can get really pissed up and then just go to bed in the ground. That's amazing, isn't it?
Fucking hell. I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll just nip in and I'll surprise them. They'll love it. They will love it.
That's what he did. So we're all sitting there. It was a mate of mine called Dave. It was his stag. And we're all sitting there getting pissed and having our, like, you know, beef Wellington or whatever it was. Mm. And then suddenly the door, no knock. Of course right. not. I'm Jeff fucking Hurst, you cunts. I'm a West Ham legend. I scored hat-trick in the World Cup final. Jeff Hurst knocks for no man. Certainly not here at Upton Park, right? Fucking door just swings open and it was a proper, oi, oi, dickheads! It's me, Hursty, right?
World Cup hero.
And he goes, he literally was like this, what's all this then? Right, he was like that, right?
And we were like, what's going on here?
We're having a stag. We're all West Ham fans and we're having a stag.
You bunch of reprobates. Keep the noise down. Like,
it was like that. And he goes, what are you doing after the game then? And we went, and someone like the best man went, we can go see some strippers. And I always remember Jeff Hurst coming, lovely. And he went, and there's a famous like stripper pub in East London called Brown's, and it's a boozer.
Brown John's.
And it was like, I don't know if it's still going, but certainly like it had been going for years, and it was one of those ones that blokes would go in the old days. Blokes would go there in their lunch break and a girl would just get up on the pool table, well, do her thing,
I mean,
and then a hat would go round.
You see these in the Sweeney and Minder, don't you?
Yeah,
you
know it was one of those joints. Yeah. And then I think by the 90s it might have gone a slightly more legit, I don't know. But yeah, it was proper like, I'll take my sandwiches that the wife made for me. Right, she makes me a lovely tuna lovely tin salmon sandwich every day, and I take she wraps them up in tin foil. And at lunchtime, I take myself down to the pub, and I eat my salmon sandwich, and I have half a lager, and I look at a woman's breasts and fanny
on stage,
and then I just put a pound in a bucket and go back to work. Fucking hell. In many ways, I live the lifestyle of a character in a Martin Scorsese film.
It beats feeding the ducks, doesn't it? In the park.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so I can't remember how we got onto that, but I was talking about life is just a journey, man. And, like, you don't just end and then like that's it. Yeah, Jeff Hurst. So what I'm saying is Jeff Hurst, he's not frozen in time forever having just scored that trick. The fact is he had to come in and talk to a bunch of drunken morons, right? Yes. About their fucking strip club plans on their tawdry little stag that they were going on, right? And make nice to us. And yeah, fair enough, he was good at it, and he is a hero and a legend. I'm not undermining him, but he was probably being paid a day rate by West Ham for doing that. Or Harry Redknapp, when you speak to Harry Redknapp and say to him, you know, when people used to always say about Harry Redknapp, oh, he's always on the make. He's always got his eye on like on a pound note, right? As if that was a criticism. And he said to me, and he said it to other people, that I briefly ghost wrote a column for Harry Redknapp many years ago. Right. And he said to me once, the thing is, he goes, I am not going to make any apologies about making as much money as I can legitimately from my own career, right? Which I think is a good attitude. It's actually a working class attitude because middle class people find it slightly crass to talk about money. Well, fucking good luck to you.
Must be fucking out. Nice.
Yeah. I'm not fucking... I'll go, like, I fucking love a few quid. I fucking love a few quid, mate. Why wouldn't
I? I've experienced life of having nout and it was shit. And now that I've got a few quid, it's great. I don't know which I prefer. Yeah. So
you don't show off about it, but you certainly are happy when you go, anyway. Like, I remember at my wedding saying to my Italian cousin, who, because he's Italian, is obviously more sophisticated than me, and a couple of other people were standing around. And as we were talking, I was very, like, euphoric and ecstatic, like you are. It was at the reception straight after the actual thing. And there's a waitress going around with a tray of glasses with bubbly in, right? Mm. And she hands it out, and we all took a glass. I'm standing there with my Italian cousins and a couple of mates, and I took a sip, and they went, oh, thanks, cheers. Whoa. They went, nice champagne. And I went, no, it's not champagne. And they said, what? I said, no, it's Prosecco. And they said, oh, yes. And they thought I was about to say, because the sophisticated thing says, actually, a lot of Proseccos are just as... I actually prefer Prosecco, which is a middle-class trope, to say, I actually prefer the taste of Prosecco. And I just went, trying to make any point at all. I just blurted it out, because you know me, I blurt things out. I just went, yeah, no, it's Prosecco. It's cheaper, much cheaper. Right, and they pissed themselves because they went, anyone else at a wedding would have either lied and said it was champagne, or if they admitted it was Prosecco, would have tried to claim that it's because they prefer it. And I went, no, I mean, fucking hell, this whole fucking palaver's costing a fortune. I was shaving prices wherever I could, mate. I wanted to serve fucking Tizer anyway.
Oh, Tizer's lovely.
Yeah, and so, you know, people just... Jeff Hurst. Oh, yeah, Harry Redknapp said, he said, look, put it this way. He goes, I was managing Bournemouth. He went in the cup on like a Wednesday night. It was pissing down. No, actually, he was assistant managing West Ham with Billy Bonds. He went, it was pissing down with rain. He goes, we were playing at Southend at Roots Hall, shitty little ground. Apologies to any Southend fans listening. Right, he goes, and... he goes, I'm walking along the touchline. I really don't want to be there. I'm assistant manager. And I hear, H, over here. And I turn round and I think, who's that? And there's this old man, or like this poor fella, in a flat cap and a sheepskin coat, no cover, soaked to the skin, right, eating fish and chips that are soaked with rain out the back. Mm. So I walk up to him to see who it is, right, under his cap and his hood. And it's fucking Bobby Moore. Right? It went, Bobby Moore, who was my captain at West Ham. Mm. He goes, the best bloke I ever knew. England's World Cup winning captain. And I said, what are you doing here, Bobby? And he went, oh, I'm doing a bit of punditry for Capital Gold on the radio. Mm. He goes, I thought to myself, this is like the early 90s or late 80s or whatever. He goes, I thought to myself, he's probably being paid like, in those days, 150 quid. Mm. Right. He's the England's World Cup winning captain and he's eating soggy fish and chips. He went, and I was embarrassed. He went, because I was not fit to fucking lace his boots. He went, he was my hero and my leader and like, you know, greatest English footballer of all time. He goes, if you realise that a man who's achieved all of that can end up doing that for 150 quid, you know, for a few hours. Like, he would rather not be there, but, you know, we've all got to earn a living, fair enough. He goes, then you realise, well, I'm not going to fucking make apologies for making money legitimately within the rules in any way I can. That's what we're all doing. We're all trying to earn a living.
Yeah, yeah. But then you can flip that over and ask the question, was Bobby Moore happy doing that? He might well have been.
Well, yeah.
Bobby Moore.
True.
Down-to-earth sort of fella. Might have been quite happy eating his fish and chips at Southend, doing a bit of punditry. Gets him out the house. He gets to watch the game that he loves. Football. He gets to watch the football match.
I think, let's be honest, no one likes sitting in the rain. No one. Doesn't matter how down to earth you are. I would, whatever job it was, I would rather not do it in the rain.
The only
and I would rather not eat soggy fish and chips.
The only negative, really, that I can see about that is that perhaps Bobby Moore hadn't planned his dress properly for the weather. He hadn't looked ahead at what the weather was going to be like. And
well, in those days as well, you didn't have all this Gore-Tex stuff. But nowadays, someone, you know, a regular listener and noted football pundit and commentator, Nigel Adderley, tweeted the other day, saying that the person he was doing the co-commentary with, whose identity he protected, was wearing one of these heated gilets.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen these? Mm. Apparently, this is what all the football like reporters are wearing now, and it's got like it's like an electric blanket that you wear.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you know what's really good about it? It's got it operates on a thermostat system.
Fucking hell.
So you're always at optimum temperature.
Yeah.
Because it's not like one of those ones where, you know, sometimes you can get too hot on
it's
a cold winter's
on,
day.
And you've got to turn it off when you get too hot. It's on the thermostat.
No, this one, it adjusts to what your requirements need. So me and you could both have, you're hot bodied, I'm cold bodied.
Yeah.
But we could both have the same item. And it would just respond to our relative body temperatures.
We could podcast wearing them, safe in the knowledge that we're both at optimum temperature. And therefore, our podcast output would be, you know, enhanced.
And also, there's gloves and socks as well.
Okay.
That operate on a similar basis.
We could invest in them, perhaps, from the official podcast bank account. But it's kind of like
maybe
I was
when
thinking
we
there.
Open our new merchandise shop, we could do Top Flight Time Machine branded ones.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, talking about Jeff Hurst, the height of his career and all that, and what he ended up doing. Mm. You and me, podcasting is a career high for both of us, I think.
Yeah,
it's definitely. Never going to get any better than this. But one day we won't be
doing
this.
Well, that's a bit worrying, but in a way, yeah, you're right. Because
is it though? Is it worrying? Because to me...
No, it's worrying. No, because on the one hand, you think, what if podcasting is made illegal, right?
Right, yeah.
If it got big, you could say, but this podcast could get bigger and we could be it could go global and we could have millions and be making millions, but that could would make been... life harder.
Well, this is the thing. Ask Harry Redknapp, would it? Possibly not. Does money bring you happiness? Probably.
No, but you can have enough. Where's the line?
I don't think we're ever going to make now, enough.
I see you as a Benny Hill type anyway, right?
Yeah.
That would be
thank
even
you.
If we were making millions. If we were making millions, I think you would still be living quite a humble, like modest lifestyle.
I might change my Twitter bio to that. Sam Delaney says, sees me as a Benny Hill type.
He's just right. You're the Benny Hill type, in quote marks, Sam Delaney.
Sam Delaney.
Britain's best journalist.
I will do, yeah.
No, but you know, Benny Hill lived this frugal lifestyle. I'm not saying your lifestyle's frugal, but I think that I don't think money would change you, Andy. And I mean that as a compliment. And I can't stress this hard enough. It would definitely change me. I mean, I know I've earned a lot of money at times in my career, and it's always changed me for the worse. So,
yeah. Well, yeah.
At the moment, I think I've got just enough.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying.
Would you not be older and wiser? If, for example, we ended up taking this podcast to Vegas and doing it as a show for like 6 months. With a tiger. Obviously with a tiger, yeah. It doesn't need to be said that, does it? But, I mean, would that change you, do you think?
Yeah. To be honest, one of the reasons that lockdown's good for me is that I'm better off caged in a house.
Like a tiger.
Like, I'm better off not being in places with other things going on, too many other individuals for me to show off to
variables.
And whatnot. Yeah, too many variables. It's better just to be in my house with my family, speak to you on FaceTime a few times a week, and that's it. I text my mum most days, have a little chat to her about, usually about what's going on in her Scrabble games. That's it.
It's enough, yeah.
I chat to the cat. But, you know, if I upgrade from a cat to a tiger, Fucking hell. I mean, anything could happen. I could be off the rails again.
Well,
you know.
Yeah.
So when I had my own office, one that you visited on occasion, the one where the Xerox machine was. I mean, that Xerox machine is just one example of the stupid things I do once I have access to largest sums of money.
I think next thing you know, I'm signing up
a 10-year contract with Xerox. Who am I? Mike Ashley with Alan Pardew.
I think you gave me a tour of it when I was in one time. I think you showed me around it and explained how good
it was. Have a look
at
this, son.
Oh, you had it for 10 years.
Follow me. You're not going to believe this. I was like, talking to the Godfather, you know that the Hollywood executive that Robert Duvall goes to visit at his mansion in Hollywood to have a word with him about putting Frank Sinatra in his film, or the bloke who's supposed to be Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
And the guy, he's my favourite guy in all the Godfathers, that sort of like quite camp movie executive. And he goes, come on. He goes, come on, Tom, let me show you around. And he starts showing him around his enormous mansion just to show off to him. And he takes him into the stable where he keeps the horses, which come back to haunt him in a very famous scene. And he goes, come in here. I think you're going to like it. He goes, these animals are very beautiful. And then he turns to Robert Duvall. He goes, you do appreciate beauty, don't you, Tom? Which is my favourite line in the whole of The Godfather. She's like, what are we supposed to say to that? No, mate, I don't.
I'm not bothered.
Well, pretentious, I'll take it or leave it.
I'm indifferent.
You do appreciate it. It's like, it feels like a power play in a way that I can't quite sort of put my finger on. It's like, you do appreciate beauty, don't you, Tom? don't know what to say. but don't ask me any questions about it.
Don't ask me about the works of the great masters, Caravaggio and that. I don't know much about it, but I know what I like.
I mean, that is a nice horse. If you ask me to explain why it's nice, I can't. I just don't have the vocabulary, but it is a nice horse.
I think it's because it's got pretty eyes and its nose is smooth, but I'm not sure.
Just forget it, Tom. I wish I'd never shown you the horse. You don't deserve to look at a horse like that. Then he goes home. Ring, ring. Hello, Godfather. The geezer, he doesn't want to put Frank Sinatra in the film like what you told me to tell him to do. What should I do now? Tell me, what did he have that he felt he treasured the most? Was it, for instance, a horse? Yeah, it was. He's obsessed with horse. Okay, here's what you do. Sneak in the night and chop the horse's head off. Then somehow get into his bedroom and put the severed head in his bed. Then get out before he sees you've been there. Fucking hell, it's going to make a right racket, isn't it? He's bound to wake up and I'm cutting the horse's head off.
Can we not just blow
his car away? Get it done. How am I going to chop the fucking horse's head off? What with? Just get it done.
Can we not just blow his car up? No, this way is better for the story.
It's more of a statement.
Well, I don't know. I mean, having your car blown up's a pretty big fucking statement, to be fair, and it's a lot easier than chopping a fucking head off. Have you seen this width of a fucking horse's neck? It's fucking enormous.
I'd have to drag it first. Or where am I going to get horse drugs from?
Anyway, I'll need one of them electric carving knives you get. From Argos.
But what I was going to say was, one day, you know, this the podcasting is a career highlight for us in terms of contentment, if nothing else, right? So one day it's going to end, and then how are we going to fail? We're going to be Jeff Hursts, aren't we?
Doing
or
tours,
Bobby Moores, flailing around,
turning up on people's stags for 100 quid.
Maybe.
Oi, lads.
Maybe.
I could imagine us being paid to go on someone's stag. Don't, honestly, you'd have to go on a stag. Put it this way. Even if my best friend in the world, right, thank God all my best friends are married, but if, heaven forbid, their marriage breaks down, I don't know why, perhaps they're caught, I don't know, up to no good, but whatever it is, right, heaven forbid they have to get remarried and they say, and they have a midlife crisis like men do when they're in their late 40s and get really into, like, taking ecstasy and going to clubs again, right?
Yeah. I'm in my late 40s and single.
Right. Yeah, I know, but are you in a crisis where you're taking ecstasy and going nightclubbing?
Well, not at the minute, but it could happen.
But some people do, right? And it's not to do with being single. It's more likely to happen to you if you're married, in my opinion.
Okay.
But they go, Sam, you're my best friend. I want you to be my best man, and I want you to organise a stag with strippers, drugs, nightclubs, dwarves, the lot. Right? Limos. I would say, look, you're my best mate. I love you. We've known each other for years. But I'm telling you now, mate, you would have to pay me £1 million to go anywhere near a fucking stag, let alone arrange one.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
You can shove your stag up your ass, and that's my best mate. So if you're thinking of hiring us as entertainment for your forthcoming stag, any of you... you're looking 6 figures minimum.
I will do a Saturday afternoon in a pub. I will leave by 6 p.m. because I don't drink, and that's it. Mm. That's the most you're going to get. So
I'll give a pre-scripted speech. Yeah,
yeah.
And I will not deviate from the script. Yeah. I will just come in, do it. We'll do the favourites like you fucking do it. A Roy Keane impression,
blah blah blah,
and then we'll do it the old TTFN dickheads and disappear in a puff of smoke.
£1 million
stags. Are awful. Stags are awful. And even the stags in my stagging heyday, which is usually like in your sort of late 20s through to your mid 30s, isn't it? That's most people's stag heyday, because that's when all your mates start getting married.
Yeah.
I look back with nothing but shame and dismay about all of them.
Right, that's it from this one, because it's gone on far too long anyway. Thanks for listening, everybody. More logistics soon. I think we'll do a history box next week, probably history of beds, something like that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.